And we're holding on Kuftes Umud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We started learning yesterday about the dinim of the korban osham that the person has to bring when he steals and swears falsely, as we've been learning through much of the perek. And particularly, we started talking about the din of gezel ager, where if the person he stole from was a ger, and now that person passed away and has no yorshim, then he has to give the money to the kohenim of the mishmar on duty. So in that connection, we mentioned that even though the kohenim are divided into mishmaris, and every mishmar has their week when they serve in the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, a kohen is able to bring his own korban whenever he wants, even if it's not his mishmar's turn. So now we're going to learn about that a little bit. So Tanarabbanan, how do we know that a kohen is able to come and bring his korbanos anytime he wants, even if it's not his mishmo's turn? Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk starts out by saying that if a Levi comes, and we understand that he is talking about bringing korbanos, so it's not a Levi, it means a kohen. This is one of those examples where the word Levi in the pasuk refers to kohenim, because after all, they come from Shevet Levi as well. Anyway, so the pasuk says, he can come with his whole heart's desire to the Beis Hamikdash, and he can serve in the Beis Hamikdash. So we see that that a kohen is able to serve in the Beis Hamikdash whenever he wants for his own carbon. How do we know that not only he's able to come and bring the korban, but how do we know that the avoda, meaning Rashi says the reward for the avoda, which is to say the eating the meat of it and the skin of it, the skins of korbanos generally, the skins of korbanos generally go to the owner. Sometimes they go to the kohenim as a whole, but a private person's korbanos, the skin generally goes to him. So how do we know that in this case the meat and the skin of it belong to him? So he may not be able to eat all the meat, obviously. He can decide among himself and his family if it's kodesh kodeshim only in the Azorah, if it's kodesh kalim in the whole Yerushalayim, who's going to eat it, and that the skin belongs to him. So Talmud Lomar, the Ishith Kadoshim lo yiyu, therefore the Pasuk says, which we learned yesterday, Pasuk says in Parshas Nasai, a person's kodeshim are his own. Hoketzad, so what does that mean? How does that work out? Im hoya bal mum. So if the kohen is a tam, then okay, he is tamim, then he himself can do the avoda, and he himself can have the meat and have the skin. What about im hoya bal mum? What if this kohen is a bal mum and he can't do the avoda himself? So nos no the kohen shabois mishmar, then he does have to give it to one of the kohenim of that mishmar. So now the difference is a bal mum is able to eat korbanos. The pasuk specifically says so in Parshas Emor, but he's not able to be makriv the korbanos, of course. So now he can't make a shliach to be makriv it, because the idea being, if you can't do something yourself, you can't appoint a shliach to do it. Which by the way is a is an interesting point that different mefoshim and different poskim discuss in different regards about that din, about if you can't do something yourself, then you can't appoint a shliach yourself. It may not the base mayor, one of the main nosa kalim on Evan Ezer, points out that that may be the case. The Gemara is going to continue pointing out. You also have the case, for example, where he's old or sick and he can't eat the meat. So here you have an example. He's prevented by halacha from doing the avoda. Later on, we're going to have an example where he's prevented by by circumstances. He's in principle able to do the avoda, but he's prevented by circumstances from being able to do it. And still, we say that he can't appoint a shliach. So we have. So we have a general din from that, that when a person can't do something himself, then he can't appoint a shliach for it. And he discusses how that relates to the dinim of gittin and other such a dinim. Anyway, so now if he's a bal mum, noisna l'koyin shabaosa mishmar, then he has to give the korban to bring to one of the koyinim of that week's mishmar, because he can't appoint his, or he can't do it himself, and therefore he can't appoint a shliach of his own choosing, a kohen of his own choosing to do it. He has to just leave it for the kohen of the mishmo to do like anybody else's korban. But va'avodasa and the avoda, meaning the meat of it and the skin of it, will be his. So his meaning, in other words, that whichever, so it'll mean that even so, he is able to, still, we say, Ishus Kadosh of Loyu, and he is able to eat the meat. Therefore, the meat still belongs to him, and the skin still belongs to him, and he can eat it himself and decide whoever else will join him. That's one Lashon. A second Lashon in Rashi is, a different Gersa, is Avodasa V'Oda L'Anshe Mishmer, that in that case, the meat and the skin belong to the members of the Mishmer, because even though it's true that he would be able to eat, but nevertheless, the general rule is if he can't do the Avoda, then the meat and the skin don't belong to him, and therefore that's how it would be over here, because he's a Balmud. The Rambam passed in the same way, like that second Lashon in Rashi, like that second Gersa in Rashi. Continues the Braisa, what if the Kohen who wants to bring the Korban is old or sick? So now he still is able to do the Avoida, but here it's the other way around. He can do the Avoida because a Kohen doesn't become possible to do the Avoida because of age, unless he gets to the point where his hands are shaking, but he's too old to be able to eat the meat of it. You can't eat a kazayis of it, for example. So then the other way around, then he can give the korban to bring to any kohen that he wants. There, though, the meat and the skin go to the anshe mishmer, because again, he can't appoint somebody else to take over for him for that, because he himself is not able to eat it. Well, the Gemara asks, what exactly is the case with this old or sick person? If you're talking about he's still physically able to do the avoida, so he's still, his hands don't shake, and he still has his physical strength, so what's the problem? Then the avoida and the skin of it should all, the meaning that the meat and the skin of it should also belong to him, because after all, he could do the avoida. He decides he's not going to do it himself, but he's able to delegate it to somebody else because he's able to do it, and therefore he's able to appoint the shliach to do it. So then in that case, why should we say that in that case it goes to the anshe mishmer? The idle motzi ovid avoda, and if we're talking about that he's too old or sick to be able to do the avoda, shliach hechem ishavi, then how would he be able to make a shliach to do it? Anytime a person can't do something himself, then he can't appoint a shliach to do it. The Noda to be Horda explains actually that this is actually a different case. This is not really a matter of shlichus. This is more a matter of that usually every korban goes to the anshe mishmer here, where he himself can bring the korban. Then they don't have, and that overrides that. But here, if he can't bring the korban, then it goes back to the anshe mishmer. So therefore, he can't give it to somebody else. And in this case, why would we say that he can give it to any kohen he wants, instead of saying that it goes to the anshe mishmer specifically? Here the Beis Meir on Shulchan Aruch points out that according to the way of looking at it, that it is a matter of shlichus. Then we see from that that even when a person is not able to do something just because of physical infirmity, not because of any halacha, nevertheless we'd still say the rule that he still can't make a shliach for it. According to the Noda Yehuda's explanation, that wouldn't necessarily follow. But anyway. So the question is, what is the scenario that the Braisa is saying he's old or sick, and on the one hand he can give it to any kohen he wants, on the other hand the eating of the meat of the korban and the skin of the korban go to the anshe mishmer? Why is that? It seems to be inconsistent. The answer is, so the difference is, we're talking about he is old, he is sick, but he would be able to force himself and do the avoda, or he would be able even to eat the meat, even if he forces himself. So now the difference is, now when it comes to the avoida, even if he's only doing an al yadad chak, it's still a valid avoida. If he pushes himself and is able to do whichever avoida it is, the receiving of the blood or the sprinkling or whatever it is, and he's able to accomplish that, even though it's very difficult for him, it's still a valid avoida, because again, as long as his hands are not shaking, then he's still kosher to do the avoida. So it is an avoda, and he is able to appoint a shliach to do it on his behalf. On the other hand, achila, when it comes to the eating of it, now if he were to force himself to eat it, then it would be achila gasa, because he doesn't have much of an appetite because he's old or sick, and therefore that would be achila gasa, that would be overeating, the kind of eating where he feels nauseated by it, And such an eating is not considered an eating. Therefore, avidosava oda la anche mishmer, and therefore mishum hachia mishum hachia avidosava oda la anche mishmer. Therefore, the avoda, meaning the reward for the avoda, the meat of the korban, and the skin go to the anche mishmer. Now, of course, the skin has nothing directly to do with it, but nevertheless, wherever the meat goes, the skin goes. Although, with that said, the Shittuch Kubetzes brings from the Ramah that says that no, the meat would be given to the anche mishmer, and the skin would actually go to the owner of the korban. Tosfos discusses here and in several other places in Shas where it mentions this concept of achila gasa. Tosfos points out there are actually different kinds of achila gasa. Elsewhere in Shas, we find an example that a person eats matzah on Pesach as achila gasa, and he's still yotze. It's just not the best way of doing the mitzvah. As opposed to here, we're saying that he wouldn't even be yotze with eating achila gasa. So Tosfos distinguishes here and in several places between. First of all, Tosfos says that we're in those other places, we're actually not saying so much that he's yotze. We're saying that we can't call him a rosha. The case is that he's eating matzah on Pesach night as achila gasa. So Rish Lakish says in those places, if he ate matzah on Pesach night, how can you call him a rosha, as the Gemara wants to do over there? We don't this in Nazir, for example. So okay, Tosfos says maybe it doesn't mean that he's yotze. It just means Rish Lakish is saying the fact is he is eating matzah on Pesach. How can you call him a rosha? Maybe he's in fact not yotze. But also Tosfos says here and those other places that there's a difference between different kinds of achila gasa, namely that there can be achila gasa where a person is full but not so over full, so he doesn't want to eat right now, but nevertheless he can still force himself to eat. That would be the kind that it's talking about over there, where he eats the matzah on Pesach night. He already filled up from before, which he shouldn't have done, but nevertheless he can still be yotze eating the matzah. On the other hand, the achila gasa we're talking about over here, and in some of the places in Shas, is the kind where he ate so much that he's nauseated by the sight of food, where now if he stuffs it down, then he's not yotze eating at all, and that would be what we're talking about over here, where therefore he's not yotze, the mitzvah of eating korbanos at all, and therefore we're saying if he's in a situation like that, in this case it's not because he overate, in this case it's because he's old or sick. But the same thing, in other words, therefore the meat of it would belong to the anshe mishmer rather than to whatever koyin he picked to do the avoda, or even to himself if he forced himself to do the avoda. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Amr of Sheshes. Im hoya koyin tomei. What about, before we talk about if this koyin was a balmum, now what about if he's tomei? Then the koyin sibur, so then it depends when it comes. So if it comes to a korban sibur, the korbanist sibur, still the koyanim are able to bring it when they're tomei. We know that tumah d'chuya or hutra b'tzibur, according to the different opinions. So therefore nois na v'chomi shiyutza. So then, even though he himself is not going to be bringing the korban, but he would be able to, because korban sibur is doiches atuma. Therefore, again, we follow the rule that anything that he could do, he could appoint a shliach. Therefore, nois na v'chomi shiyutza, so he can give it to whoever he wants. V'avodas v'oda la'anshe mishmer, and the avoda, meaning the eating of the meat and the skin, will belong to the anshe mishmer, because he being tomei, he can't eat the meat. Well, the Gemara says, "Hey chidami." Well, what exactly is the scenario? Id ikat tahodim. If there are other koyanim from that mishmer who are tahor, then how does he have any right to this korban at all? Tmeim mi matzu avdi. In that case, can the tmeim be doing the avoda at all? And if they can't do the avoda, they can't appoint a shliach to do it. The id leka tahodim. And if there are no koyanim tahodim. What do you mean? Avodas of oda l'anshe mishmer. So what do you mean that the eating of the meat and the skin go to the anshe mishmer? All of them are tomei. Hotmeim ninu v'le motzu achli. They're all tomei. They're not going to be able to eat. We the Mishnah mentions in Pesachim that there are a number of korbanos tzibur that are brought b'tumah. The rule being basically they have to be korbanos tzibur that have to be of the tzibur, not of the yachid, and they have to be kavur lahem zman. They have to have a fixed time. For example, the korbanos tomid and musaf. And things like that. Not for example, the par helam davashot tzibur and other korbanos tzibur like that are unscheduled and not korbanos yochid. The korban pesach is considered for that purpose to be a korban tzibur, as it discusses over there. Anyway, but normally the rule is even when tmeim are able to bring the korbanos tzibur, and even when you say tumah d'choyah b'tzibur, they still can't eat it. So what are we talking about over here? That the that Rav Sheshet is saying the Kohen is Tomei. So therefore, but it's a Korban Sibur. He can choose which Kohen is going to bring the Avoid, is going to do the Avoida, and then the Anshe Mishmer get the meat and they get the skin. So how could we say that on the one hand he's able to do the Avoida because he's Tomei? If there were other Kohenim Tehorim available, then he's not able to do it in the first place. And if there are no Kohenim Tehorim, then nobody's eating the meat. Omar Rava, Ema, Lebali Mumin Tehorim Shaba Osi Mishmer. So Rava says, I skipped a line. So if they're all Tomei, then nobody's going to be able to eat it. So what is Rav Shesha saying that that you give the meat and the skin to the Anshe Mishmer? So Omar Rava. So Rava says what you're talking about is you're right in that Mishmer there are no Kohenim who are Tohar and able to do the Avoida. So therefore the Tmeim can bring the Korban. But let's say you have Bale Mumim in the Mishmer who are Tohar, and as we said before, the Bale Mumim are able to eat. They're able to eat Korbanos, as the Pasuk specifically says, Lechem Alekov, Yoichol, they're allowed to eat the food of Hashem from the Kodshe Kodshim and Kodshim Kalim. So that would be what Rav Sheshet says. Ema, what Rav Sheshet means to say, when he says the Anshe Mishmer, he means the Bale Mumim Tohoden Shabbosim Mishmer. He means specifically that the meat and the skin of the animal go to the Bale Mumin who are Tohar in that Mishmer, because Tosfos again wonders why should the skin go to the Bale Mumin? Why should the skin go to the Mishmer in general? In fact, Agos Hagra points out that there are Gusois that actually take out that statement of Tosfos, because why are they wondering over here? Why not on the other cases we were talking about? Anyway, the point is that so that's why the meat is given to the Bale Mumim Tehorim of that Mishmer. So the Korban was brought by the Tmeim. So therefore, the Tmeim are the ones who are bringing the Korban, but they can't eat it because they can't eat a Korban Sibur when it was brought for Tumah. But the Bale Mumim, as long as they're Tahor, could, and therefore they're the ones who get the meat. And therefore, says Rava, that's what Rav Sheshet meant. Which the Rosh actually gives an explanation that we're talking about over here. The Korban was actually brought. Another way of looking at it is that the Korban was actually brought by when Rava is saying that the meat is given to the Bale Mumim Tehorim Shabbosim Mishmer. The Rosh understands it to mean that it was actually the Korban itself was actually brought by Kohenim Tehorim from a different Mishmer, because if the Korban is done b'tumah, then the meat is not eaten at all. On the other hand, the Rambam seems to say that even though the Tmeim brought it, as long as they didn't actually make the meat Tomei, then you can still give it to the Bale Mumim Tehorim of the Mishmar. Now another point that Tosfos brings up is that we're talking over here according to Rav Sheshet. Now Rav Sheshet himself, now you have a machloikus in several places in Shas called Tumah Dechuya B'Tzibur or Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. When we say that Tmeim are able to bring Korbanos Tzibur, is it only something where we push aside the Tumah for that purpose, but basically we say it should be done as much as possible by Tehorim, or do we say Hutra B'Tzibur, it's completely Mutter? So if we say Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, then it means even if there are Tahor Kohenim available in this Mishmer, still the Tmeim would be able to bring the Korban. But here we're talking according to Rav Sheshet, and he says that not. He says that only if there are no Kohenim to hold him and who are not Bale Mumim, then the Korban is brought by the Tmeim, but otherwise not. So that would be what Rav Sheshet means. That would be the case where the Kohen was Tomei, and still he can choose which Kohen will bring the Avoida, but the meat and the skin will go to the Anshe Mishmer. We're talking about that it means the Anshe Mishmer means the Bale Mumim Tehorim Shabbosim Mishmer. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Ashi, Im Hoya Kohen Gadol Oinen, if the Kohen Gadol was an Oinen, now a regular Kohen is not able to do the Avoida when he's an Oinen, when a relative of his passed away that day and hasn't been buried yet. So a regular Kohen does the Avoida under those circumstances, he would be Mechalol the Avoida and it would be possible. But a Kohen Gadol is an exception. We find a pasuk in Parshas Emor that says so. We find on the day of the Chanukah Samishkan, when Nadav and Avihu passed away, then Aaron and his sons were told that all of you are like Kohenim Gadolim today, and you continue doing the avodah. But the rule is the Kohen Gadol is able. He's like the situation before at the top of the Amud of the older sick person who is able to do the avodah, but he's not able to eat the meat. Because a Kohen Gadol does not get a share of the korbanos as long as he's an oinen. So Rabbi Ashi says, "Mahoya Kohen Gadol, if imahoya Kohen Gadol oinen. So if the Kohen Gadol was an oinen, noisna v'chol Kohen sheyirtzeh, then he can delegate his korban to bring to any Kohen he wants. Because again, since he's able to do it himself, then therefore he's able to appoint the shliach for it. V'avidosav odal anshe mishmer. But the avoida, meaning the meat of it and the skin, go to the anshe mishmer." So the Gemara asks, "My Kamash Malan, what is the chiddush? What's Rav Ashi's chiddush that he's telling us that? Tanena, we learn in a braise exactly that. Kohen Gadol makriv oinen ve'ena oichol. A Kohen Gadol can bring korbanos as an oinen, but he can't eat from them. Ve'ena cholak lachol la'erev. And also, he doesn't get a portion that he can eat that evening, even though by the time it comes the evening, where at that point, either his relative will be buried and he's not an oinen at all anymore, or even if the relative is not buried yet, then that he'll still be an oinen at that point. Rashi points out is only derabanan. So we would think let him get a portion of the korban and he'll be able to eat it in the evening after his aninus daraisa is over. Still, we say it's not like that. So the braisa clearly says that. So why does Rav Ashi have to point that out? Tosfos wonders why the Gemara didn't ask the same thing about Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes had said that a tomei can bring korban a sibur. That's also a clear braisa. So the Rosh gives an answer because the fact is that again, according to his shitta, we're talking about before that a tohur from a different mishmer was the one who brought the korban. So you would think that other kohen should get the meat, and therefore the chiddush of what Rav Sheshes is saying is that no, it's not like that. But nevertheless, the kohenim of that mishmer are the ones to get the meat, and therefore we look for bali mum and tohurin of that mishmer, and they're the ones who get it. And he goes on to explain another thing as well, that could be that you would have thought the Torah's chiddush, maybe Balei Mumim get the meat only when there are also Tmimim who are getting it, and then the Torah is saying that the Tmimim with the Balei Mumim together divide the meat, but here we're saying the Tmimim are all Tomei, so maybe you would think that the Balei Mumim don't get either, and Rav Sheshes is saying that yes, and there's no problem with that. With that said, there are Mephoshim who explain that the Gemara is not asking on the Gemara is not asking on Rav Sheshes so much because, in fact, Rashi himself says elsewhere in Shas that we don't always ask on Amiroyim. Yeah, but it says in a braisa such and such because we don't expect every Amora to know all the braisas. On the other hand, when it comes to Rav Ashi, who was Masada the Gemara, he and Ravina together were the ones being Masada the Gemara, so they should be expected to be familiar with all the braisas. And this braisa is also the basis of it is also in a Mishnah in Masech Tehodius. So therefore, the Gemara wondered what Rav Ashi's chiddush is. And the answer is Sakrat Chamina. The reason why Rav Ashi needs to tell us is because otherwise you would think, Ki chas rachmana alei de Kohen Gadol, you know when the Torah has rachmanus on the Kohen Gadol and says that he can bring the Kohen Gadol, that he can bring the korbanus even when he's an oinen, l'kruvihu is only as far as bringing the korbanus, avul shavuya shliach le'motzi meshavi, but maybe not to the extent where he can appoint the shliach, and therefore you would think that we would say he himself can be makriv it, but only he himself, he can't appoint the shliach, and if he chooses to do that, then nothing doing, and it has to go to the mishmar on duty, le'motzi meshavi, he wouldn't be able to appoint a shliach, kamash malan, therefore Rav Ashi is telling us not so, that he can even appoint a shliach, because again, the general rule is anything that a person can do himself, he can appoint a shliach to do. Okay, so this was all a digression really into the halachas of korbanos, which came in over here again, because we had learned about yesterday, about the Kohen bringing his own korban in connection with the matter of Gezel Ager, where we said that if the Kohen himself stole from the Ger, he can't say that just like a korban I can bring myself, so also the Gezel Ager I can keep for myself. No, it goes to the whole Mishnah. So now the next Mishnah is going to talk more about these dinim of Gezel Ager and about the money that's given to the Kohen. The Mishnah says, a person steals from a Ger and swears falsely to him that he didn't steal, Ummes, and then the Ger died, and as we learned yesterday, unless the Ger had children, then he has no Yoshim, because his original family, his original Goyish family is not considered related to him. And by the way, we touched on this yesterday, but the fact is, even if he's Megayer together with his family, nevertheless, they're all considered Gershon Eskayuk, Kotten Shener Ladomi, and they're not considered related to one another in Halacha. And even if he gets married, by the way, a wife doesn't Yoshim from her husband, in the Torah's dinim of Yerusha. So the only way for him to have Yerushim would be only if he has children after he's Nisgayer. Anyway, so Harezim Mashalim Keren B'Choymish L'Koyanim. In that case, then the Gazlan pays the Keren and the Choymish to the Koyanim. Again, where he admitted it, because we've been talking throughout the Perek that to be paying the Choymish and bring the Korban Oshim would have to be the admitted that he had sworn falsely. So he gives it to the Koyanim. The Oshim Lamizbeach. The Osham on Mizbeach, and he gives the Osham to be brought as the Korban on the Mizbeach. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, being Ein Lo'ish Goyel, if a person has no Goyel, meaning no Yodish, Lahoshiv Ha'osham Eilav, to whom the Osham should be brought back, the Osham meaning not the Korban Osham, but meaning the money of which he's guilty of stealing and swearing falsely. Then the Pasuk continues, Ha'osham Ha'mushav La'Hashem La'Koyin, the Osham which is returned, which is given to Hashem, will go to the Koyin. Milavad Eila Kippurim Asher Yechapa by Olav, besides for the ram that he brings for his kapara, for the Korban Osham, with which the Koyin will be Mechapa for him. So again, as we learned yesterday, this has to be talking about a ger, because a born Jew always has Yoshim, because then no matter how far back you may have to go, you're always going to find somebody from his shevet who can Yoshim him, but a ger not. Continues the Mishnah. What about if he's bringing up the money and the Oshim to Yerushalayim, Ummes, and on the way the Gazlan dies, a kesef yinosim lebonav. Then now there's no kapara for him anymore, because ain kapara l'mason. So therefore, now he was essentially zoiche in this money once the ger died, but he has to do hashava, he has to do v'heishav esagzela in order to have the kapara, because he swore falsely. Now that he's dead, ain kapara l'mason, so therefore we don't have that. So now what happens is, akesef yinosim lebonav, so now the money is given back to his children. The Gazlan's own children are yaushing in the money. Well, osham, what about the osham? You can't take the animal away from being an osham anymore. Yirad shistoev, you have to leave it to graze until it develops a mum, v'yimocher, and then you sell it, v'yipul dom of the nedava, and the money of it goes into one of the nedava boxes. There were a bunch of boxes, a bunch of pushkas, in the Beis Mikdash. Six of them were labeled Nedava. The Gemara in a couple of places, the Gemara in Menachos and Yerushalmi and Shkolim discuss exactly why there were so many boxes. But in any case, the point is, all of them were used, the money of them was used to buy Korbanos Nedava, to buy kites and Mizbeach, oilus for times when there was not many Korbanos being brought, so that the Mizbeach shouldn't just be sitting there idle with no Korbanos being brought. So here we do that. We take the money of this Korban, once it develops a mum, and we use it, for kites and mizbeach for korbanos nedava of the tzibur. On the other hand, nosen akesef for anshe mishmer. But if he gave the money to the members of the mishmer that's on duty that week, ummes, and then he died, ain yoshin yicholim lahotzi miyadoi. But the point is, hagoyis habach, which talking about is that it's before the korban was brought. If it's after the korban was brought, then the din that the missionary is going to say here is no chiddush. But we're saying, even though he gave the money and then he died before bringing the korban, so can't the yoshim say, well, the korban wasn't brought yet, so therefore there's no kapara needed anymore, let's have the money back? Nope. The yoshim cannot take away the money from the koyanim, shenema. As the Pasuk says, when a person gives whatever he gives to the Koyan becomes his, meaning, in other words, at this point, he gave it as one of the 24 Matnas Kahuna, and therefore they can't get it back. In fact, later on, the Gemara is going to point out, in effect, what you have is that it's a two-part kapara. There's a kapara that we're going to talk about in the Gemara at the bottom of the next Amud, that in effect what we have here is a two-part kapara, and one part has been accomplished by giving the money, and therefore they can't get it back. Continues the Mishnah. Now, we know of the 24 Mishmaris, each one had, we know we have the 24 Mishmaris, each one was on duty a different week in the Beis Mikdash, and they had names. The Pesukim and Divrei Yomim list the names of the 24 Mishmaris. The first one was called Yehoyariv. The second one was called Yedaya. So the Mishnah is going to use those as examples to represent any two Mishmaris, one after the other. The same thing would be if it's any one Mishmar and the one that follows it. The Gemara mentions, by the way, in Tainis, that not all the Mishmaris came up when the second Beis Hamikdash was built. Yedaya came up, Yehoyariv didn't. They're listed in the Psukim. The Yedaya is listed in the Psukim in Ezra and in Nehemiah. And therefore, they had to re-split up the Mishmaris that did come into 24. So either when our Mishnah mentions Yehoyariv and Yedaya, either it means that later on, eventually, people from Yehoyariv came and the Mishmar was reconstituted, or it means that the Gemara says over there, they re-split the four Mishmaris that came into 24. So they have a full complement of Mishmaris, and maybe they gave them names similar to the old ones, or maybe just the Mishnah is using Yehoyariv and Yedaya as placeholders because we're familiar with those names from the first Beis Mikdash, where in fact when David split them, whereas in fact in the second Beis Mikdash, those Mishmaris would have had other names. Anyway, the Mishnah says, Nosin HaKesef LeYehoyariv, suppose that the guy gave the money to the members of the Mishmar of Yehoyariv, the Osham LeYedaya, and he gave the Osham, the Korban Osham, to Yedaya, to the next Mishmar. So in other words, what he did is he gave them money. So let's say, for example, it's Yehoyariv's turn in the Beis Mikdash during the week. Let's say now it's Parshas Tetzaveh. So let's say Yehoyariv is on duty, Parshas Tetzaveh, and Yedaya will be on duty the next week, the Parsha of Kisisa. So now, supposing that he came during the week of Parshas Tetzaveh and gave the money to Yehoyariv, and then he came back in Parshas Kisisa and gave the Oshem to Yedaya to bring as a korban, Yotza, then he's Yotza because each one was given to the appropriate to the appropriate Mishmar that was on duty the time that he came. The Ravid actually points out that it may not be so simple. If he had already designated the Osham, then no, he has to give it to the Mishmar that's on duty at that time. We're talking about, let's say, he's giving the money and he hadn't yet designated the Osham. So then next week, when he designates the Osham, then he can have the Mishmar of Yedaya bring the Osham. And as we said before, whichever Mishmar brings a korban, they're going to get the meat of it to eat. Osham being Kodshe Kodshim, then they're going to be eating the meat and they're going to be getting the skin. So it's going to work that way. On the other hand, continues the Mishnah, Osham the Yehoyariv, the Kesef the Yedaya. What if the other way around, first he brought the Osham to Yehoyariv, and then the next week he brought the money to Yedaya? And that's no good, because as we learned earlier in the Perek, you have to give the money first before you bring the Korban Osham. So then, Im Kayama Osham, if the animal of the Osham still exists, if it hasn't been shechted yet, Yakrivuhu b'nei Yedaya, then you take it away from them, then you take it and you give it to the members of Yedaya, the second Mishmar, and they bring it as a korban, and that way he's yotze properly, because he gives the money to Yedaya first and then the korban is brought. V'im loy, and if not, then it was a possible osham, yachsev yavi osham acher, then he has to go bring another osham. Because the rule is shamevi ashamai, because if a person brings the payment for his gezel before bringing his osham, then he is yotze. So that's why in the first example, he gave the money to the kohenim of Mishmar number one, Yehoyariv, and then later on he brought the korban to Mishmar number two, Yedaya. He's yotze like that. But hevi ashama, actually hevi gzela, lo yotze. But if he does it the other way around, first the osham before the gezel, then he's not going to be yotze. And in fact, that part is true not only of Gezel Ager, that part is true of the other kinds of Gzela as well, as we learned earlier in the Perek, that before he pays the Keren, he can't bring the Osham. So in a normal case, not a Gezel Ager, where he's not giving it to the Kohenim, but rather back to the Nigzel himself, then also it would have to be that he returns the money before he brings the Kohenim. So that's why if he brings the Osham to the first Mishmar and the money to the second Mishmar, he won't be Yotze. The Osham has to be brought by the second Mishmar or later after he gives the money. On the other hand, the Mishnah continues, Nosen as a Keren, or Nosen as a Chomesh, if he paid the Keren, but not the Chomesh, and Rashi points out, by the way, in the case where we say if the Osham still is alive, then we said that Yedaya brings it in order for him to be Yotze, what we actually do, Rashi points out, we're penalizing the Mishmar of Yehoyariv. We tell them, we say to them, look, you can't say that since you could have brought it during your week, and now you should have the opportunity to bring it even afterwards, just like we said before, that a Kohen can bring his own korban in whatever Mishmar he wants. No, because you did wrongly, how could you take the Oshim from him before he had paid the money? Yedaya, on the other hand, there's nothing to penalize them because, after all, they received the money at their proper time in their Mishmar. We're going to see in the Gemara. We'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow. Best Hashem, we'll have other cases involving Yehoyarib and Yedaya as far as when he gave the money and when he gave the korban. But there, we're talking about where Mishma received it outside of their week. Where here, we're talking about that Yedaya received the money in their week, and therefore, there's nothing to penalize them. And on the contrary, you penalize Yehoyarib for taking the osham before making sure that he paid the money, and therefore, it's Yedaya that's going to be bringing it. Because again, the Mishnah says you have to bring the gezel before the Asham. The Mishnah continues, though, nosen as a keren, v'le nosen as a chomesh. If he paid the keren, but he didn't yet pay the chomesh, ein a chomesh ma'akev, the not bring the chomesh does not prevent, so he can bring the Asham, and later he can bring the Asham. Rashi says, it's not ma'akev to bring the Asham, imle nosen adayin, all of a soif nosan, and later on, he brings it, implying, according to Rashi, it would mean that he actually has to bring the chomesh in order to be yotze. And if he never brings the chomesh, he's never going to be yotze. On the other hand, the Tosfos Yom Tov explains that maybe Rashi doesn't mean over all of a soif nosan, but over a soif noisen, he does have to give the chomesh, but it's not actually ma'akev. Marshal, but he also points out that is in fact what Rashi means. That Rashi never meant to say that he's not yotze at all. If he never pays the chomesh, he will be yotze, but the fact is he still does have a chiyuv to pay that chomesh at some point. Marsha points out that it just means as far as kedima. It's not ma'akib. You can do the order, keren, then osham, then chomesh, and you are yotze, but the fact is the chomesh is not ma'akib, even if he never gives it at the end. And he proves that from the end of the from something at the end of the parak, which we'll learn tomorrow, Bas Hashem, that the chomesh is not ma'akev at all. Okay, so the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan, Osham Zekeran Zekeran. When the pasuk says Ha Osham Ha Mushav LaHashem LaKoyin, Ha Osham means what he's guilty of, means the money that he actually stole and swore falsely on. That refers to the keren hamushav. When the pasuk continues, that which is returned zechoymesh, that refers to the choymesh which he has to pay separately. Oy eina el osham zeayil. Now you could say maybe not. Maybe the word osham in the pasuk actually means the ram, means the korban itself, and then hamushav would have to mean the keren and the choymesh together. And the Gemara asks, "Olamai nafkamina?" Well, the Gemara interjects into the Braisa. Well, what's the difference whether we learn that the word osham refers to the money or whether we say it refers to the korban? The answer is the braisa might be saying la puki midirava. If we were to say that the word osham does not mean the money but rather the korban, then it would mean the braisa is saying not like rava. The Omer Rava gezel ager shech zira balayla. Rava says that if a person returns gezel ager, if he gives it to the koyanim at night lo yotze, then he's not yotze. And hechzir chatzoyin lo yotze. And also, if he returns it a half at a time, then he's also not yotze. My time osham kari rachmana, because the pasuk refers to that money as osham, meaning that it has to be like a korban osham. A korban osham cannot be brought at night, and a korban osham cannot be brought piecemeal. So therefore, so if we were to say that the word osham in the pasuk means the money, then we would learn from that robber's din. Whereas if the braisa is saying, if we were to say that osham does not refer to the money, then we would not be able to learn that din of robbers. There is brought from Ravel Lebrisco, by the way, that says that the Gemara is going to soon point out that you need a shava pruta. The money that he pays has to be a shava pruta for each koyan in the mishmo in order for him to be yotze. So there's Ravel Lebrisco learns that what it means is when we say lachatsoyan, we mean that he gave it in such a way where right now the amount he gave is not enough to be a pruta for every koyan in the mishmo. But so then we're saying that he wouldn't be yotze, but if we mean, in other words, that if he stole $1,000 and there would be enough in that to give a and now he's paying $500 and there are enough prutas in $500 for each coin in the mishmer to get one pruta, then Reb Velvel says he would be yotze because he would be yotze to that extent because he did do the heishav esakzela. He did do the heishav esakzela at least of the part. So therefore we can be talking about whether he can be bringing an osham yet. Anyway, the point is, if though we said that the word osham in the pasuk actually refers to the korban osham rather than to the money, then we wouldn't have robber's din. So therefore the braisa continues, no, milavad since the pasuk continues, besides for the ram, for the kapara, So that's the Korban. Hevi Omer Oshem Zakaren. Necessarily, therefore, the word Oshem and the Pasuk must mean the Karen. So we have three things the Pasuk is referring to: Oshem, Hamushav, and Eil HaKippurim, which refer to the three things, the Karen, the Chomesh, and the Oshem. So therefore, so we see that the money is called Oshem, and therefore we have Robber's Din, that he can't return it at night, just like he can't give it to the Kohen at night, just like he can't bring Korbanus at night, and he can't give it piecemeal, just like he can't bring a Korban piecemeal. The Gemara says Tanya Idach. We learn in another Braisa that gives more detail. Oshem Zekeren, Hamushav Zechomesh. Again, the word Oshem refers to the Keren, and Hamushav means the Chomesh. And the Braisa continues. Over Gezel Agera Kosem Medaber. Now the Pasuk is referring to. Sorry, I skipped a line over here. So Tanya Yudach, Oshem Zakaren, Hamushav Zechomesh, Oy Eina Elas Oshem Zechomesh. Maybe not. Maybe the word Oshem actually means the Chomesh. And the Gemara again asks the Mayan Nachmina, what would be the practical distinction, whether Oshem means the Keren or the Chomesh? That would be La Pukim Masnissin. That would tell us, if that was so, not like our Mishnah, that's now Nosem Lais HaKeren, Vole Nosem Lais HaChomesh, Eina Chomesh Ma'akiv, where the Mishnah had said that if he hadn't paid the Chomesh, then the Chomesh is not Ma'akiv. Because if we said the word Oshem refers to the Chomesh, Abdelab Chomesh Ma'akiv, on the contrary, we would say that the Chomesh is Ma'akiv because the Torah is calling it Oshem. But no, but I said, continue. True Omer, Beheshir, as Oshem, Eberoshoi. Since you have, the Pasuk says he has to pay his Oshem at its head, meaning the full value of it, which is the Keren, Bachamishisoi, and the Chomesh, Hevi Omer, Oshem is a Keren, then we know that Oshem refers to Keren because the Chomesh is being listed separately. So that bears out what the Mishnah is saying, that only the Keren, which is called Oshem, is ma'akev, but the Chomesh is not. Tanya Idach, then we have yet another braisa, Oshem Zakaren Hamushav Zachomesh, over Gezel Agera Kosem Medaber. This whole posik about paying it to the Kohenim is referring to a Gezel Ager. Now, Oy Eina Ella Hamushav Zakefel, how do you know that's talking about Gezel Ager? Maybe the word Hamushav actually refers to Kefel, over Gneva Sagera Kosem Medaber. And then the posik is talking about not where he did Gzela, where he grabbed it away from the Ger, or did some other kind of thing that would be called Gezel, where he's never chayev for Kefel. Maybe it's talking about a case where he's chayev Kefel. Tosfos points out, we're talking about over here, he's vadu. We're talking about that he admitted that he's guilty, and when he admits, then he's not chayev kefel. And especially, in fact, we learned before that even if edim come afterwards, according to Rab, which and halacha is like Rab, moedim knas, and then edim come, he's potter. So what's the case over here that the Gemara is wondering about whether we could even be talking about that he's chayev kefel? So in fact, the Rosh gives an answer that we're talking about, yes, that Adim came and said he's chayev kefel, then he came and admitted on his own, and therefore he's chayev a chomesh and an asham, because now we learned a couple of days ago that he could never be chayev kefel and chomesh for the same money, but our Braisa may not be agreeing with that. Our Braisa may hold that in fact it's possible to be chayev for both of them. Anyway, so maybe then in fact the word hamushav is referring to the kefil over gnevas ager kosim adaber. So the pasuk is referring to where he stole from a ger and therefore is chayev kefil. The Braisa says, "Kshu omer v'heishav as hashomim b'roshay v'chamishisoi." The pasuk says he has to pay back the value of what he's guilty for plus the chomesh. So harei b'momen amishtalim b'rosh akosim adaber. Therefore, the pasuk is clearly talking about an amount of money where basically he should have to pay only the Keren. So we're not talking about where he's a Ganav, where he's on the hook potentially for paying Kefil. We have to be talking about a case where he was Goizel, and therefore he's never Chayiv more than Keren. And now, because he swore falsely, then therefore he's also Chayiv in the Chomesh, and therefore and he also the Keren and the Chomesh go to the Kohen. And the Ravid points out over here that now that we established that, then it would mean that even if Adim came and later on he was Moida, and again, according to what the Rosh was just saying, he should be Chayiv and Kefil. But no, if the Ger is alive, then fine, he's going to pay Kefil and not Chomesh. But if the Ger dies, then the Braise is saying that he pays Keren Chomesh Lekoinim. The Meiri actually learns that what it means is that always Gneva of a Ger, he's always Zoyche in himself. Only in the special case of Gezel Ager does the Torah say that you have a Keren and a Chomesh that has to go to the Kohen. Okay. So the Gemara says, Gufa, getting back to what we said before, Omar Rava, Gezel Ager Sheikh Zidah Balaila La Yotza. Rava had said that if you return Gezel Ager at night, if you gave it to the Kohenim at night, then he's not Yotza because it's like a Kohen. And Rava had also said, Echziru Chatzoin La Yotza. And if you returned it by halves, then he's also not Yotza. My time, Oshem Kari Rachmana, because the Torah calls it an Oshem. Gilyan Hashas, so Akiva Eger points out, usually when the Gemara is going to say Gufa, it's going to analyze it in more detail. Here, the Gemara is actually not going to do that. But here, the Gufa means something else. We're bringing Rava's dinim, and now we're going to bring other dinim that Rava says in this connection, which were not discussed before. So usually, Gufa means we're going to take what the Amorita said before, and we're going to analyze it in greater detail. Here, we have a rare example. We have another example he brings from Bava Metzia, where the Gemara says Gufa, not to analyze what was said before, but rather to bring more dinim from the same Amorita. So the Omer Rava, Gezel Ager Shein Beshava Pruta L'Chokoyin V'Koyin, if the Gezel Ager does not equal up to a Pruta for every Koyin of that Mishmar, lo yotze yidei chayvase, then he's not yotze the mitzvah of the heishav esagzel. My time dechtiv ha'osham ha'mushav, because it says the osham that is returned, meaning anshi yehei hashav l'chol koyin v'koyin, it has to be that the money has to be enough to be considered giving to each koyin, and less than a shav pruta is not considered giving. So according to Rashi, it would actually mean he'd have to actually add extra money in order to make up that there would be that he would have to add more in order to have a pruta for every person over there. According to the Rosh, even that wouldn't work. The Shita Mukabetzis points out that we can't even say, well, he gave it to one kohen, so what's the problem? Because the Gemara is going to go on to say it gets divided up among the whole Mishmar. Boy Rava, but now Rava asks the question, ain't boy. What would happen? Suppose that there wasn't enough money. Suppose that the mishmar of Yehoyariv is larger than the mishmar of Yedaya. So, say for example, Yehoyariv has 1,000 koyanim in it, and Yedaya has only 900. So now, what if the amount that he wants to pay is not? What if the amount that he's going to pay is 900? So it would 900 prutas. So it would be enough to cover the whole mishmar of Yedaya, but not the mishmar of Yehoyariv. Mahu? What would be the din? Well, the Gemara says, what's the Rava asking? Hey, Chidomi, what's the scenario? If we're talking about that he gave the money to Yedaya when it's the Mishmar's turn in the Bais HaMikdash, and he gave them the Oshem as well, what's the problem? The fact is, there is a Shava Pruta in it for every Kohen. Of course he's Yotze. The answer is, the case would be that he gave it to Yedaya a week early. He gave it during the Mishmar of Yehoyariv without waiting for Yedaya's turn. My, so now what would be the din? On the one hand, he gave it to Yedaya when it's not their turn, when it's not their week, so it doesn't count for anything. So therefore, he's going to have to take the money and give it to Yehoyariv. And for Yehoyariv, it's not going to be enough because it's not a shavu prota for each one of them. Or maybe we could say the money is to begin with not suitable for Yehoyariv because they have too many koinim. Therefore, we can say to begin with that money was meant to be earmarked for Yedaya. So even though it's in the wrong week, nevertheless, we could still say that maybe Yedaya is zoicha in advance, and therefore maybe now it's enough for him to be able to bring the osham to Yehoyariv. Because after all, he did give the money, and now he's bringing the korban, and now maybe he can have Yehoyariv bring the korban, even though the money was given to Yedaya, because after all, Tosfos points out, we're going to learn tomorrow, Bes Hashem, that if he gave the money to Yehoyariv and the Oshem to Yedaya, he would be Yotze. Actually, we learned that in the Mishnah already, that if he gave the money to Yehoyariv and the Oshem to Yedaya, so he would be the other way around. He gave the money to Yedaya, but he gave it to Yedaya during the earlier week, when it wasn't their turn yet, but he gave it to them because it's Bechlal not enough to cover the Mishnah of Yehoyariv at all. So would that work? And the Gemara says, Teku, we leave the question open. So you can't do that, and it would be a suffix whether the korban is kosher. Okay. Boy, Rava. Now Rava asks another question. Now we have a rule like this. We know that the Kohenim get all of them. We know that the Kohenim get portions of all the korbanos, or most of the korbanos that are brought in the Bais HaMikdash. Usually we have You take, for example, a chatas or an asham, all the meat is eaten by the kohenim, a mincha as well, all of it is eaten by the kohenim, and then you have the ashlamim and other kodshim kalim where they get certain parts. Now, the rule is that you can't divide one, you can't say, for example, the kohen might say, well, here, this is a mincha, it's only one. If we all divide it up, we're all going to get next to nothing. So instead, how about let's trade? I'll keep this mincha and eat it myself, and you'll take the next mincha and eat it yourself. We can't do that. Every individual mincha and every individual korban has to be divided individually among the kohenim. They can't trade one for the other. So now, well, can the kohenim trade gezel ager for one for the other? Meaning, in other words, not to say, look, I'm moichel, I don't need my portion, but to say, in other words, I'll keep. There are two people coming here with gezel ager, so let's make a deal between us. Instead of having to divide it up, a pruta for each one of us, we'll say, I'll get two prutas from this one, and you'll get two prutas from the next one. Can we do that? The question is, mi'amin and osham kawya rachmana. On the one hand, the Torah, as we said before, calls the money an osham. We just said on Amar Aleph that the word from three different braises, that the word osham refers to the keren. And so, ma osham and chokin, but osham keneged and chokin, osham keneged osham, af gezel and chokin, gezel ager keneged gezel ager. So we would say, just like by an osham, they can't trade one for the other. They have to divide up each osham individually. The same way as various psukim explain that point, Parshas Tzav. So the same thing would be with gezel ager. They can't trade one for the other. Gezel ager or the fact is it is mammon, and therefore by mammon maybe they can trade mammon for other mammon. So Rava asked the question, Hoder Pashta, later on, after we asked the question, Rava gave the answer, yes, Osham Kari Rachmana, the Torah does call it an Osham, and therefore they can't trade, and they have to, and each one has to get their individual portion from each individual one. Before Rava was saying as a fact that it's considered like an asham. Here he's wondering whether it has the same dinim of an asham. So Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz draws a distinction between before we were talking about before it was actually given to the kohenim. So then it's like a korban asham. It can't be given at night. It can't be given by halves. And that once the kohen receives the money, it's considered his. But here we're talking about when it's actually being given, is it considered like beforehand, where it's like an osham, and you can't trade it or not? And he's saying that, yes, it is fully considered like an osham, and therefore you can't trade it. And the Gemara says, Rav Acha Bre Dirova Masni Lavahedya. Rav Acha Bre Dirova, instead of asking it as a question, stated as a definitive fact, Omar Rava, that Rava had said definitively, maybe Rav Acha Bre Rava is Rava's son, or maybe he's just his father, is a different Rava, but in any case, he learns it, b'pshitus, that Rava had said, Koinim Enchok and Gezel Ager, Keneged Gezel Ager, Koinim cannot trade the division of one Gezel Ager for another, my time, Osham Kari Rachmana, because the Torah calls it an Osham, and therefore there's no trading, just like there isn't trading by Korbanus. Okay. Boy, Rava asked another question. Kohenim begezel ager yoshin havu or mekablim atonis havu? Do we consider that the kohenim who are receiving the gezel ager, are they considered like yoshim of the ger, or are they considered like they're receiving a gift from Hashem? So the Gemara says, "L'may nafkamina." What would be the practical difference? Suppose that the person stole chametz, and now Pesach passed, and now he wants to return the gezel. Iyamet yoshim nihavu. If you say they're considered like yoshim, hainu haydi yarsi modus, then this is the exact same chametz that they inherited. The same way as we learned earlier in the perek that the gazlan can say harei shalach lefanecha. The same way over here, this guy could give the chametz to the kohenim, and that would be that. But if you say that they're considered like they're receiving a gift from Hashem, then matona kam rachman de nesavu. Hashem says you have to give them a present. He was not giving them anything because the chometz is like dust and it's also bahana. So which would it be? Now Tosfos points out before Rava had said it has to be worth a pruta for every member of the mishmer. Obviously, it's not worth a pruta for every member. It's not worth a pruta for anybody. So what's Rava's question even? So Tosfos says we have to say that either before or here we have to say it's not Rava either before. It wasn't Rava making the statement, but rather Rabba about needing a Shava Pruta, or here it's not Rava about that, but rather Rabba is asking the question, so that way there's no inconsistency. One of them is saying you need a Shava Pruta, the other one is asking, do you in fact need a Shava Pruta apiece? The Gemara says Rav Ze'era Boi Hachi. Rav Ze'era pointed out that the Rav Ze'era gave a different way of learning the question, from which which would have a different nafkamina. Afilu im tim salomim makabla matona havu. No, even if you were to say that the koyanim are considered like they receive a matona, you could argue holo yiboyulon. You could say there's no question that over here you can't give them chometz and biyotze. Dahi matona amar rachman d'neisalu, because the Torah says you have to give them the gezel to them, and therefore fine. There's no question that in this case he's giving them the actual gezel, even though right now it's not worth anything, says Rav Ze'era. Elok, he come a boyalon, Rather, says Rav Ze'era, the question would be, suppose that the Kohen received as gezel ager 10 animals. The question would be, is he considered a Yodish, or is he considered that he received a Matana? And the Nafkimina would be, Machayv Elachru Sheminayu, Maiser Oloi. Would he have to take Maiser from those 10 animals? If we say Yoshin Havu, if we say they're considered that they're heirs, then yeah, the Omamar, Konu B'tfisas Abayis, we learn in Bechoris that if the Yoshim use the money from the estate, if the Yoshim inherit as part of the estate 10 animals, and they haven't yet divided up the estate, chayovin, then they're chayav to take maisa behema from those animals, because the fact that the yarshin does not take away the chiyuv of maisa behema. Or do we say that this Kohen who received the 10 animals as gezel agder, maybe he's considered like he received a present, or tnan, and we learn also in Bechoris, halakeach mandit and loy matona, when a person buys animals or they were given to him as a gift, potter maisa behema, then he's potter from maisa behema, because the whole concept of the Rashi brings that the Gemara in Bechoris over there explains why that is, explains it based on psukim. But the point is that the Gemara over there explains actually that since the Pasuk mentions in Parshas Mishpatim, it mentions Pidyon HaBen, and next day it mentions Ma'aseh Behema, so we learn just like you don't do Pidyon HaBen for B'chor Banecha refers to you yourself, had a baby. You can't buy or get a baby as a gift and have it be considered yours. The same way by animals, we wouldn't consider it yours if you received it. We wouldn't consider it that it's Chayiv in Ma'aseh Behema if you bought it or received it as a gift. Anyway, so if we consider, says Rav Ze'era, that the Kohenim are receiving the animals are receiving the Gezel Ager as a gift, then they'd be potter from Ma'aseh Behema. So Mai, what's the din? And the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring a proof from a Braisa, which lists all the matnas kahuna. 24 matnas kahuna were given to Aaron and his children. All of them are written in the Torah in a klal prat klal style, because the Torah starts off saying Hashem says that I'm giving you. So it says Hashem is giving. Hashem says to Aaron in Parshas Korach, I'm giving you kol l'chol kodesh b'nei Yisrael. That's a klal. Then it starts listing the prat of the individual matanos, and then it finishes off kol trumas hakodeshim. That all the trumas of kodeshim. Rashi mentions on the pasuk. It shows that it's precious. It shows that this is a very dear topic to Hashem, and therefore he put in a klal prat klal. And also all of them were given with a bris melach, a covenant of salt, meaning just like salt never spoils, the same way these matnas kahuna are going to be for all time, as long as there's a bris mikdash, and some of them even when there's not a bris mikdash, the pasuk says with their bris melach olam hu, and therefore we learn from that. Call them a kaimon. So anybody who observes them and gives these matnas kahuna, kill them a kaim, klala prata klala. Bris melach is as if he's fulfilling the whole Torah, which is also often stated in a klala prata klala style, and as if he's keeping all the korbanos, as if he's bringing all the korbanos, which are bris melach, with a covenant of salt, where every korban has to have salt on it. So a person who does that, then he's as if he fulfilled the whole Torah, and as if he brought all the korbanos, kol over aleim, and a person is over on them, and does not give these matnas korbanos, kilo over al klal prat klal, and as if he's over on the entire Torah, which was given with klal prat klal, or bris melach, and as if he's violating the covenant of salt, as if he's not bringing korbanos b'chol. So 24 matnas korbanos that have great importance to them. The Elohim, the 24 are as follows: Eser b'mikdash, 10 of them are specifically in the Beis Mikdash. Here Rashi explains that it means that they're eaten in the Beis Mikdash, although elsewhere where the Gemara also brings this list, it means that they're given in the Azara to eat there, but not necessarily are every one of them eaten in the Azara. The Arab Yerushalayim, 4 of them can be eaten only in Yerushalayim or enjoyed only in Yerushalayim. The Eser b'gvulim, and 10 of them throughout Eretz Yisrael. They are as follows: Eser b'mikdash, the 10 that are in the Beis Mikdash are chakas behema, the meat of a chakas behema, which can be eaten only in the Azara. V'chatas ha'oif, also, same thing. V'osham vada, v'osham tolui, the different kinds of osham, where a person brings it for something certain, namely all the ones that we say in morning davening, Hashem gzeilos, Hashem me'ilos, Hashem shifcha charufa, etc. All of them are kodshe kodshim, and all of them are eaten in the Azara. The osham tolui, which is a category of its own. The Rambam, by the way, when he relists these in Hilchos and Hilchos Bikurim, he mentions this listing over here, but then he also says that they can actually be redivided differently. You can say, for example, that the Osham Vada and Osham Tolu can instead be counted as one because they're both Osham, and then there would be other ones that are split up differently. Anyway, v'zilche shalmet zibur. Then you have the shalmet zibur that are brought together with the shtei alechem on Shavuos. Normally shlomim akodshim kalim, but these shalmet zibur are kodshe kodshim, and they're eaten only in the Azara, only by the male kohenim. The loig shemen shal metzora, the loig of oil that a metzora brings together with his korbanos. So some of it is sprinkled, some of it is sprinkled in front of the heichel, some of it is placed on metzora's ear, thumb, and toe, some of it is placed on his head, and the rest is for the kohenim to eat. The leftover of the oimer that they bring on the second day Pesach after they take out the kohenim from it, u'shtei alechem v'lechem aponim, the shtei alechem of Shavuos and the lechem aponim every Shabbos, u'shyori menachos, and the leftover of the menachos after they bring the korban. So those are the 10 things that are eaten only in the Azara. Rashi points out by each one of them where we see that they're given to the kohenim and where we see that they're considered kodshim kodshim. Next we have Arab Yerushalayim. What are the four of Arab Yerushalayim? What are the four that are anywhere in Yerushalayim? Habachora, the meat of a bechor after it's brought in a korban. Vahabikorim, which are also eaten. They're brought to the Beis Mikdash, but then they're eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. Vahamura min hatoda or me'el nazir, and the meat that's given to them from the toda, which is the chaz of a shoik, and from the ram from the shlomim of a nazir, which is the chaz of a shoik plus the front right leg. So those are kodesh and kalim, and they can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. Again, here we have the braisa is listing the toda and the el nozir as one thing because they're both taken from kodesh and kalim. On the other hand, again, the Rambam, when he gives his list, splits them into two, and he points out you have different ways of splitting or combining the lists over here. So we have again Bechora, Bikurim, the Toda, and the El Nozir is the third one. And the fourth one is Va'odas, Kodshim, and the skins of the Kodshim. Now, so we're talking about Kodshim, Kodshim. Before, when we were talking about the Kohenim keeping the skins, we're talking about Kodshim, Kodshim. Kodshim, Kalim, the skin goes to the owner, actually. But now, in principle, the skin could be used anywhere. The skin itself is not, you don't eat it, so you could use it anywhere. But the Ravid gives an explanation that since it's given to the Mishmar of Kohenim and Yerushalayim, so it's called Yerushalayim, even though in principle you could use the skin anywhere. And the Radvaz gives a different answer that in general, because of the covenant of Kodshim, they would usually keep them in Yerushalayim, even though the halacha they're not required to. Then Vasara Begvolin. And then you have 10 that are anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, and they are Truma, or Trumas Meiser, V'chala, V'reishas Ageiz, the first shearings of a sheep, which are given to the Kohenim, V'amatonis, Zroi L'chayayim V'keiva, from any chulin animal that you shecht, or Pidyon HaBen, the five slayim that you give the Kohen for Pidyon HaBen, or Pidyon Petach HaMor, the sheep that you give a Kohen instead of a Petach HaMor, usdeachuza, and a field of inheritance. As we learned yesterday, you have a case where a person inherited a field from his ancestors and then donated that field to Hekdesh. If he doesn't buy it back from Hekdesh before Yovel, if Hekdesh itself still has it in his possession, or they sold it to somebody else, then it goes in Yovel and goes back to Hekdesh, and then from there it gets divided up among the Kohanim. So that's another one of their Matnas Kohana. Usdei Charamim, a field of Cherem, where you have a person says on his field or any property of his Cherem, and the Gemara in a few places discusses that there's Cherem LaShem, which is a type of Hekdesh, and then there's Cherem LaKoyanim, which is that it has to be given to the Koyanim. So here we're talking about Cherem LaKoyanim. The Gezel Ager, and the last one is Gezel Ager. So all of those are the 10 that apply anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. You don't dafka, we said in the Mishnah, you give it to the Mishmer of Koyanim who are on duty in the Bismikdash, but nevertheless, it actually points out it can still be called Bigvulin, it can still be called that it applies anywhere else, because the fact is you can give it to a Kohen of that Mishmar outside Yerushalayim as well, and then you just have to bring the Osham to Yerushalayim. So it's not like the other ones would have to be brought, for example, the Bikurim has to be brought to the Bismikdash. Here, the money of the Gezel Ager does not have to be brought back, it does not have to be brought to the Bismikdash, it just has to be given to the Kohenim who are on duty of that Mishmar. Tosfos, on the other hand, wonders about that and says, "Taka, why should he be yotze? If we consider it like an osham, then we should say that it should come out that they can't give it in that they can't give it in outside of Bismikdash." So Tosfos leaves the question open. Anyway, the point is that we see from that, since Gezel Ager v'kakori mias matona, we call it a matona, it's one of the 24 matnas kohana, shmamin ha-makabli matona savu, that shows that the kohanim who are receiving the Gezel Ager, they're receiving it as a matona, shmamina, so therefore that proves it. So for Rava's original question about chometz, it would mean, therefore, that you can't give them the chametz itself, even though the chametz itself exists after Pesach, because it's not a matana, because it doesn't have any value. And according to Rav Ze'era's question, the answer would be that yes, they would be potter from Maisa Behema if they received 10 animals, because it would be the equivalent of receiving 10 animals as a matana. And as we said in the Mishnah in Bechorda, says a person is potter from Maisa Behema for animals that he received as a matana. So Shmamina, that proves it, and that's how it is that you have those dinim. The Rambam, by the way, when he brings these halachas in the Hilchos Bikurim, he mentions the reason why Hashem gave such a wide variety of matonis to the Kohanim is to make sure they have all their needs. Many of them are like you have truma and trumas meiser, give them grain and other fruits and then produce like that are basic necessities. They have the meat of korbanos, and they have zuri l'chayayim b'keva for meat for themselves. They have gezel ager and sdei charamim and several of the other ones for other household needs of theirs, because that's general money that they can use to buy food or not food, they already are covered, but to buy clothing and other things like that. And then they have real estate such as sdei achuza and whatever. But this way they have all their needs covered. And this way they can teach Torah to the Jewish people and serve in the Bais Mikdash when it comes their week and not have to worry about their parnasa. And of course, famously, the Rambam talks about at the end of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel that the same way any Yid who wants to live like that and trust completely in Hashem, then Hashem will arrange for him to have his parnasa the same way as he arranged for the Kohanim and Levim.